We have the wise man, and they are, you know, at the nativity scene, at the manger, which is not what the Bible teaches us. The wise men came to the house of Mary and Joseph to see Jesus, and Jesus was probably 2 or 3 years old at that particular time. And when we say three wise men, we three kings, but there were probably more than that. There were three gifts, and so we assume three wise men, but more than one could have had gold and frankincense and myrrh. But there was probably a large group that were coming and seeking the Lord. And so in this passage of Scripture, we find this, really this incredible truth of seeking the Lord. And I think wise men still seek him. I think it's important for us to seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek him while he may be found. And I think we ought to be a people that continues to seek the Lord. The first time, star is mentioned in a prophecy is in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, the Bible says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. In 2 Peter, we come into the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says this, we have also a sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And then, of course, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, Jesus here is noted as the bright and morning star. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. It's interesting, as we study the Bible, there are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would suppose that is the case because he is infinitely beyond all that one name could express. Wise men followed the star, the light from the star, and they came to seek the Lord. They came to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this text that we have before us, I think it wonderfully illustrates the light of Christmas. We think about Christmas time, and oftentimes when we think about what Christmas represents, light is one of those things. And we drive around town and you see the lights on houses, and I don't really know how it all came about that during Christmas time people put lights on their houses. I'm sure someone knows that, but it's a beautiful sight to see all the light and everything is lit. I don't know if you've ever traveled in the country roads where there's not a lot of street lights and not a lot of lights. It's a scary place to travel. I know this road here off of Glasgow Street. You come around the corner to the Walmart. It's dark and gloomy, and it's not a nice street. But when you travel on a well lit road, it's far better by all means. And so light is an important part of Christmas. But light is also an important part of the Christmas story. And I think light reminds us of the true light, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about the light of Christmas, I want us to kind of build this out here tonight and kind of bring back some things we learned this morning. I want us to think about the person of light. The person of light, and that is Jesus Christ, and he is the light of the world. He is the light. Let's go once again to John chapter 8, if we could, and notice what the Bible says here. John chapter 8 and verse 12, and I mentioned this morning, that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the lights went out. They were in darkness, and when the lights went out, life went out, and they were spiritually dead. And I love what Jesus says here in this text in John 8 and verse 12. The Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So when we trusted Christ as our Savior, we received eternal life. And when that occurred, the lights came on. You know, I mentioned this morning that we often talk about someone who's not saved. We say, well, they're in darkness. And because spiritually they are in darkness. And so Jesus is the light of the world. The wise men were not seeking to worship a star. The wise men were not seeking to worship angels. The wise men were looking for the true light of Christmas. They were looking for the light of the world. They were looking for the King of the Jews. They were looking for Jesus. Let's go, if we could, to Psalm 27 in our Bibles tonight. Psalm 27. And notice what the Bible says. Psalm chapter 27. And notice how the psalmist wonderfully illustrates this. Jesus as the light of the world. And he is indeed our light in our life as well. Psalm 27. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I often say when we read the Psalms, we should ask ourselves the question, do I have that personal walk with God? And it's a blessing here to see how the psalmist, David, illustrates God in his life. God is my light. He is my light. Jesus is the light. And Jesus is the light of the world. Let's go to the Gospel of John. And notice, if we could, John chapter 1 and verse number 6. John chapter 1 and verse number 6. John chapter 1. And verse number 6. The Bible says this, John chapter 1 and verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." This is John the Baptist. "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Now they would believe through the light. Jesus is the light. "He was not that light," speaking of John, "but he was sent to bear witness of that light." Jesus came as the light of the world, and John the Baptist was to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist had been the first prophet to appear in Israel in 400 years. And he came to prepare the hearts of people for the Messiah. Jesus is the true light. He is the essence of light, the giver of light. And believers are a reflection of that light. Jesus is the true light. Jesus said, "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." Then Jesus told his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." But Jesus is the true light of the world, and we are to reflect the light of Jesus in our life. And the world must see the reflections in our life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to bear that light to the world. And so we see the person of the light is the Lord Jesus. But notice, if we could, secondly, I want us to think about the pathway of light. Let's go back to our text here in Matthew chapter 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. Matthew chapter 2. And notice the scripture here in verse number 4. So the Bible says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Now, the Bible says that as the wise men were seeking the Messiah, they were seeking for Christ, that there was a star that appeared, and this star was guiding them. This star was guiding them to the Lord. Let's think about this light here, Jesus as the light, the true light, the light of the world. And what guides us today? What is the day star? What is leading us in our life? Well, we understand that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, but Also, the Bible is our guide. The Bible directs us. And in fact, the Bible here is quoting Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, where the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting." Speaking of the deity of God. And so it was indeed for these wise men, at the end of the day, it was the star that was guiding them, but really it was the Bible that was guiding them, because they inquired of where the Messiah would be born. And here these scribes said, well, this is what the law says. The law says that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. And so they are quoting here Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And today, as we stand here in 2023, coming to the end of another year, the Bible is also our guide for our life. The Bible is filled with promises and truths that help us each and every day. It gives us comfort and direction and principles to guide us in our life. And the Bible is our light to direct our life. Turn, if we could, to the book of Psalms and Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 105. Psalm 119 and Psalm 105. Really, the 119th Psalm is a psalm really about the Bible. It speaks of the truths and the statutes of the Lord and the law and how it ought to guide our life. But there's a wonderful thought here in verse number 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, in Bible days, I am told that what they would do is they would have lanterns on their feet. And as they would walk dark pathways, it's difficult to walk a dark pathway. You could fall, you could trip, you could run into obstacles. And so they would add these lanterns or lamps to their feet, and they would walk the path. And these lanterns would provide enough light just to take another step, just to take one more step. And so this is the illustration here in Psalm 119 and 105 that the Bible is teaching us. It's talking about the Word of God. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, and it gives us direction to take another step. And I believe that step, every time we follow the Bible, we are becoming more like the Lord. We are directing ourselves more to the Lord, drawing near to God, and He'll draw near to us. And so God gives us light, the light of His Word, to follow the pathway that He wants us to take. And we call that the will of God. And the will of God isn't mystical or a mystery. It's a daily walk with God. It's taking one step at a time, following God, following His Word, His Spirit directing us. And so it's following what the Lord has for our life. And so in 2024, it's so important for us to follow the light that God gives to us. I believe this. I believe that God gives us light, and we are accountable to God to follow that light. And God doesn't give us new light until we follow the light that He gives to us. And that's spiritual growth. That's moving forward in the light that He gives to us. Paul said, "Walk in the light as He is in the light." And so we take that step as He guides us in His Word. And these wise men, though it was a star that was a big part of their life, they were really guided by the Bible. They were guided by the law as they sought for the Messiah. And so the Bible will guide us. It is our true guide, and the Bible will light our pathway for our life. But let's think about the people of light. And this is the saved. I want us to go to the book of Acts now and turn to the 26th chapter together. Acts chapter 26. And notice what the Bible says. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. Let's think about the people of light here tonight, the people of light. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. The Bible says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So when we got saved, as I mentioned this morning, a miracle had taken place in our life. We were the child of the devil. We became a child of God. We were a child of the darkness, and we became a child of the light. And as a child of the light and as a child of God, God is working in our life. He's directing us. He's guiding us. He's convicting us. And the Spirit of God makes his presence known right away in our life as he convicts us and he directs us to the Lord Jesus, as the Bible says that the Spirit of God directs us into all truth. And so he's directing us to the Lord Jesus that we would be more like him. And so we are the people of light. We're not people of the night, we're the people of light. And Paul says that we are to not walk in darkness anymore. We are to walk in the light. I mentioned this morning how sad it is when we think about in 1998, when we had the blackout for several weeks and everywhere was in darkness, how silly it would be for someone when it was ready to turn the lights back on, for someone to say, well, no, I want to remain in darkness. I remember people were excited for the lights to go on. People were ready for the lights to go on. Even in 2000, in 1998, when we had, I don't know if it would be a blackout or a brownout, I don't know what it was called, but the ice storm in 2008, when we lost power for several hours, maybe several days as well. I remember that. And it would be foolish for someone to want to stay in the darkness, right? And Jesus tells us in John chapter 3 that the condemnation in this world is not that we're sinners, because he solved that problem by coming to this earth and dying for our sins. The problem is that men rather have darkness than light. And it would be silly for someone to stay in the darkness. Now, here's another dimension to that, another thought to that. As we illustrate the world, why would in the world would they want to remain in darkness? Why wouldn't they want light? And Jesus is the light, but they love the darkness rather than light. Well, let's think about a Christian. If a Christian is in the dark or in the light, and we're the people of the light, then why would they continue walking in the darkness? It would be silly for a Christian who is in light or of the light to continue to choose to walk in the darkness. And so the Bible teaches us, don't be a people of the darkness. Don't be a people who decides to live in the darkness. No, we are no longer under the power of the devil. We are sanctified in Jesus Christ. And this is the position that all of us as the children of God are in. We are all free from our sin. We are sanctified by Christ. We are no longer under the power of the devil and the power of sin. Paul reminds us of this. But the Bible also says that we have to reckon ourselves to this. We have to be aware of this. And we have to choose no longer to live under the power of sin and the devil. Now we know with an unsaved world today that there are those who are blinded to the light of the gospel. And it's sad as we think of the various religions today that are in the world. And someone was just asking me this week, well, why are there so many religions in the world? Well, because there's a devil and he's a deceiver and he wants people to die and go to hell. Unfortunately, he hates you, but God loves you. And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. This is a matter of the mind today. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so the devil is blinding the minds of people so that that glorious light, that glorious gospel light does not shine unto them because the devil hates people and wants people to die and go to hell. And so this is the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is clear, that God loves the world and wants all people to be saved. And so what is the message? What does God want from us as we seek the Lord? Well, first of all, we have to seek the Savior. In our text here, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." You know, I hope you know Jesus as your Savior today. I hope you received the light of the glorious gospel. And if you're not a Christian tonight, then please don't leave here not knowing that you are in the light, that you're a Christian. We can show you from a Bible how you can be saved. But we must seek the Savior, verse number 2. But also, we must see the Lord, verses 4 and 5. Now, the wise men, they wanted to worship the Lord. But Herod wanted to kill the Lord. And there's a different dynamic there in the purposes of these individuals. Let's turn, if we could, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5, the Bible says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." Those of us who know the Lord, we want to worship the Lord, put worth to him, and we want to see the Lord in our life each and every day. We don't want to be a Christian who, you know, has their head in the sand. We don't want to be a Christian who's living for ourselves. We don't want to be a Christian who is not radiating that light, that glory of God in our life. We want to be a Christian that sees the Lord and worships the Lord and is seeking to please the Lord with our life. And that is the purpose that we have as Christians today. The purpose that we have as Christians is to make sure that people see Christ in us. We want people to see Christ in us. That's what our children need to see. That's what our spouses need to see. That's what our grandkids need to see. They don't need to see more of us. They need to see more of Jesus. They need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this is the light of Christmas. The light of Christmas is Christ is the light. He is the true light. He's the essence of light. We are the reflections of his light in our life each and every day. And we have to seek the Lord, and we have to worship the Lord, and we want to make sure that the Lord sees us each and every day. A little girl got home from Sunday school where she had been taught the verse, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And she asked her mother, when she repeated the verse, what it meant. And the mom said, "Well, it means that when we are good and kind and thoughtful and obedient, we are letting Christ's light shine in our life before all that know us." And the very next Sunday school class, the little girl got in a fight with another student in the class. And, you know, it kind of got into a big uproar. And it was such a mess that the mother had to go down to the classroom and kind of settle the class down a bit. And her mother was concerned. And so when she went into that class to talk to the little girl, she said, "Sweetie, don't you remember about letting your light shine for the Lord before men?" And that little girl blurted out, "Mom, I have blown myself out." And oftentimes in the Christian life, by our whether our temper or our pride or by our flesh, we can blow that light out. And we want to make sure that people see the Lord Jesus in our life each and every day. I simplified the Christian life this morning by saying this: the Christian life, you know, let's take away all of the theology behind it. And let's say this: the Christian life is this. The day we trusted in Christ for our salvation, we died, and now we are letting Jesus live through us. That is the Christian life. That's what the Bible says in the book of Galatians. We want Christ to live through us. And every single time my kids see my temper, every time the kids see my flesh, it doesn't glorify my Father which is in heaven. They want and they need to see Jesus in me. You know, the star for these wise men was both exciting and life-changing. And, you know, we are wise when we seek the Lord. The person of light is Jesus. The pathway of light is the Word of God and following what the Bible has to say. And the people of light is us. We are reflections of the Lord. And we want others to see the Lord in our life. I mentioned this morning John 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, as Christians today, we are people of the light, and we don't want to walk in that darkness. We want to make sure that we walk in the light of the Lord. Someone says this: men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. It contradicts them. And when we come to the light, when we accept Christ for who he is, it's life-changing. As we allow God to change our lives inwardly to the outside, then men, women, those in our life can truly see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that is what we want in our life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity.